First one is, what role does attitudes play? Now, throughout the 12 weeks or so that we've been together in this class, there have been times when we've talked about different things, different areas, or different practices of prayer. And the one thing that we always usually come back to is our heart. And that's another word for attitude. So that's what we're going to look at more today. And you can follow along in your handout, and then we'll stop every once in a while for your comments or questions. Prayer is more than words or formality and bowing before God one or more times a day, as well as just telling God what we want and expect to get it. Acceptable prayer to God is conditioned upon many things: right words, right kind of life, and the right kind of spirit or attitude. And here are some attitudes that help us make our prayers acceptable to God. First one is attitude of believing, not doubting. Unless we can believe through it all, prayer has little value to us. There's no need to pray if you do not believe prayer does any good. Number two. Oh, by the way, there's no need of taking 3 months to study about prayer if it's not going to do any good either. So we've been wasting our time if that's correct. But I don't think it is. I just throw that out. Number two, attitude of sincerity and fervency. Sincerity is appreciated both by men and God. If we are sincere in prayer, we will be intense, fervent, not half-hearted, listless, and indifferent. That's why earlier we was talking about the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, and also known as the Lord's Prayer. It's okay to repeat it as long as our heart and our attitude is in with the words. We're understanding the words, and we're just not repeating it as a memorized prayer. And that's the difference. Attitude number three is humility. Pride, self-exaltation, self-righteousness filled the heart of the Pharisee, but the publican made no pretense of righteousness. Acceptable prayer must be characterized by a spirit of humility and self-abasement, not dependent upon one's eloquence or accomplishments, but boldly approaching God because of grace. Throughout Psalms, lots of the prayers of David, what sort of position is David in? I'm sorry?
Peril.
He's down on his knees crying to God. We find that quite often. So sometimes we don't go to God in prayer until we've kind of exhausted all our other options, don't we? We kind of think, well, I've done all I can do, so now I'll start praying. And that's not the attitude we need to have. We need to have the humility that we can't do anything without God, and we ought to realize that from the beginning. So we need to have an attitude of humility. They're having fun back there.
Amen.
Number four. It's hard to compete with that. Huh? We could all just go in there. Number four, the attitude of a forgiving spirit. A forgiving spirit shows mercy. We show mercy because God has shown it to us. If we refuse, God will refuse to show us mercy. We literally are asking God to deal with us as we deal with others. Again, part of the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer is, and we find this in Matthew 6, forgive me because I'm going to forgive others, or as I forgive others. So we need to have a forgiving spirit. At number five, attitude of right motive. Acceptable prayer is when our will is in harmony with God's will. Our petitions are His petition. Ask that which will bring glory to His name. We need to study diligently to know the will of God and abide by it. Does anybody know James 4:3 by memory? Or can paraphrase it? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It's the first part of it. Number six, attitude of thoughtfulness. Meaningless and hard to understand expressions are forbidden. Also forbidden are empty, meaningless, inane mumblings of the same expressions over and over. Many words with little meaning are worthless. Prayer should express understanding and show thoughtfulness. This is basically saying, and we talked about this earlier, especially in public prayer, do not use the big flowery words and language and to try to impress folks. Number seven, attitude of watchfulness. Watchfulness makes us aware of the dangers of the evil one, but it also emphasizes the need for constant prayer. The danger is real. We can fall into temptation and sin. The price of spiritual liberty is eternal vigilance. Matthew 14:38 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." And finally, number eight, attitude of persistence. We know we can prevail if we persist long enough. This is easily illustrated with a child and a parent. God has merely chosen to operate this way for our good. The two parables in Luke 18 still illustrate the need of persistence in prayer. Does anyone know what the two parables are in Luke 18? Persistent widow is one. And what's the other one? Verses 1 through 8. It's the unjust judge. Unjust judge. So prayer is not simple, but quite complex. To avail with God, we must learn how to pray. This involves getting our attitudes right. Any comments or questions about our attitude? And sometimes lack of. David?
Actually, I have a comment on number one.
Going back to number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Attitude of believing.
All right.
And in preparation for the Wednesday night series coming up on the history of the church, the first 3,500 years, one of the lessons we get into, how did the practice of praying to Mary and the saints come about? And it's really interesting that it was really, people didn't feel like they could pray to God. Because of the position they were in.
Yeah.
And it was a matter of getting your priorities right and truly understanding the relationship. And so they didn't feel like they could pray to God. So
yeah.
They prayed to someone who was a little more.
A little lower in the.
Easier to go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway. But yeah, that's a huge doctrine change.
Yeah.
Huge doctrine change.
Yeah. We'll talk more about David's class next week since it's the end of the quarter. Of course, he's been plugging it all along. Connie?
Number eight.
All right.
I always get I'm a little confused sometimes when the attitude of persistence, say you ask God, help me find a job. And then you hear the expression to give your cares to God, lay your burdens at the cross. Well, do I keep asking them every single time? You know, it's like the kid who says, Mom, can I have a kitty? Mom, can I have a kitty? Mom, can I have a kitty? Sometimes you just get it. And so when you're saying the attitude of persistence,
yeah.
It's like, how often do I ask God for the same thing? Can I ask him every single time I pray? Or do I need to just ask once and forget it?
I've actually heard someone say you ask once and forget it. That is not my position.
No.
My position is you consistently and persistently pray. Until you get an answer. And you may not realize that you've gotten an answer until much later. We did talk about that one of the earlier weeks, so you can go back and look at that. But I believe the more the better is what my stance on it. Dwayne?
Yeah. Along with her question, you know, even the scriptures tell us to be a father.
Yeah.
You know, in a good sense, but it's just to keep asking. And that's like, say we have somebody sick, like Dub or many others, you know. And I pray about that all the time.
Yeah.
I feel I should ask, you know, one time and say, now we'll see what happens.
Right.
I mean, to keep something on your heart before the Lord is not a bad thing.
No.
You know, if that's on your heart, he wants you to continually bring that to him. You know, just because I think as humans, it's not so easy for us just to turn something loose that's bothering you. You know, it's not that he's not answering you or listening to you, but I think the main thing is, like you say, with the attitude, is to make sure that attitude for you is that you can come to God with all your concerns or with all your praises continually, and that's okay with them.
Matter of fact, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about pray and ceasing. Prayer without ceasing. David?
I was just going to say, we cannot conceive of the scope of God's patience.
No.
And our concept of, am I asking too much, is solely based on our own level of impatience.
Mm-hmm.
And God's patience is so far, we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is any amount of sincere repeated requests that will ever drive God to.
And again, and you said sincere, which is the key word. What we're talking about, or just talked about, is the attitude.
Yep.
Where is our heart?
Exactly. So, all attitude.
Yep. Jim?
The persistence of Christ in the garden.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, many, many examples of where Christ prayed and prayed.
All night sometimes. Yeah. Wayne?
I think sometimes we're persistent because we don't feel like God answered us yet.
Yeah.
But he could be just testing your faith to see if you're going to continue to believe that he'll give you what you pray for.
That's a good point, yeah.
Sometimes there'll be a longer period of time between when you ask and when you receive.
Yeah.
And he's just really, I think, testing your faith through patience.
That's a good point, yeah. Anybody else?
He could be telling you no.
That's right.
And you're just not wanting to see it.
Yeah.
To
yeah. You're right.
But you have continued prayer might help you to understand
this. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything else on attitude? All right. A lifestyle of prayer. A significant fact about prayer is given in Ephesians 6, 14 through 18. Paul is stressing the necessity of the Christian putting on the whole armor of God, and a part of that armor is prayer. And he stresses that I didn't write down the verse, but anyway. Paul's admonition to the Thessalonians was pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Such language leads to the idea that fervent and ceaseless prayer should be the lifestyle of the Christian. Praying without ceasing is to be in a continual character of thankfulness to God. John Piper has three meanings for prayer without ceasing. There's a spirit of dependence that should permeate all we do. Even when we are not speaking consciously to God, there is a deep abiding dependence on Him that is woven into the very essence of our faith. And that's sort of what you were talking about, Dwayne, where the prayer is constantly on our mind, so to speak. The second one, according to Piper, praying repeatedly and often. We can be sure that Paul did not mention or make mention of the Romans in every minute or second of his prayers or his days or his preaching, but he mentioned them over and over. It means that over and over, always, repeatedly, without fail, you are in my prayer. And finally, not giving up on prayer. Don't ever come to a point in your life where you say, prayer doesn't work. I am done. I am giving up on prayer. The key to rejoicing always is to pray continually. We need to learn, we need to lean on God all the time and call to Him repeatedly and often. Never give up looking to Him for help. Come to Him repeatedly and come often. What was the famous line that Winston Churchill said in one of his addresses to the British people during the war?
Never give up.
How many times did he say never? Five times, if I understand it right. He said, never give up, never give up, never, never, never give up. So five times he was telling the British people not to give up, and that's kind of where we need to be. Never give up. Any questions or comments?
Man, also in this, we need to realize that it's a conversation with God also. It's not necessarily that we're asking for something, but it just is a conversation. And we tend to miss that sometimes, that I don't go to God unless need
something bad,
or,
yeah.
Or something going on.
Yeah.
Just like me and Carol, if I didn't talk to her for a couple of weeks, she'd probably like that. So it would be just just a, you lose touch with
each
other.
You have feedback, so to speak.
And so this prayer is also, we need to see as communicating and just sharing with God what's going on in our life.
Yeah.
And I love the dependence aspect, but that's part, that should be a total part, because he wants a total dependence
right.
on him.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
In addition to the conversation with God, let's remember, and along with, as far as praying for things we need, like for others and all this, let's remember that we need to thank God in the beginning of our prayer, and then say what's on our mind, and at the end, thank him, you know, expand and thank him again, and then in Jesus' name.
That was week one. You may have been in Montevallo playing with that grandkid, but we did talk about that.
Well, I know. I'm just reminding.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. She's reminding us about that. Connie and then Dwayne. Oh, I thought you had your hand up. I'm sorry. Dwayne?
Was it just along with all these things? And Todd mentioned a push for something this morning, but we had a campaign one time in Nashville. I still, the push campaign, still for praying until something happens.
Hold on to that thought. Don't go there yet. We're going to talk about push.
I saw him reading ahead.
He's ahead, reading ahead. See, that's why I do not.
I don't even have it.
Well, I'm going to bring up the PUSH acronym. So why do so many Christians drop out of the Christian race? There are probably several good reasons, but the main reason is probably a lack of a devout prayer life. The old adage that says, if you don't grow, you go backwards, may be another way of saying that without prayer, the Christian will not progress spiritually. It not only takes a lot of continuous Bible study along with fervent prayer, but also an obedient life in order to stay faithful to the end. God's people should have these important watchwords to express their life before God: powerful, persistent, and ultimate victory. Prayer has to play a big role to make these words sincerely a part of our thinking. There are no quitters among those who have made prayer a major part of their life. The apostles saw the need for prayer in Acts 6:4. The early church continued steadfastly in prayer in Acts 2:42, and Jesus saw the need for prayer in his public ministry. Paul Cantrell puts it this way: if we think that we can survive this world and its challenges without continued prayer, it is quite obvious that we have too great an inflated opinion of ourselves. Without prayer, the Christian will be vulnerable to the devil's fiery darts, and we will not be able to stand against his wiles. We will have to endure the misery and despair that this world brings to us without the powerful help and comfort of prayer. Our lives will be filled with worry and anxiety that will drag us down because we do not have prayer to cast all our cares upon him who cares for us. No wonder such people do not endure to the end. And I often wonder, how does anyone who does not have God to call on get through some of these major things that we have to go through sometimes on a daily basis? I can't understand how they do it, if they do it. Some of them don't do it. But any comments on that? It is, yeah.
I mean, there's a huge increase in the number of people that are taking those now, psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is due to, I think they just don't have a strong belief that God will help them. And I think prayer is a good way to feel confident that you can get over whatever you're going through.
Yep, good points. Anybody else?
Whenever I get the sense, or I become the person that Paul Cantrell is talking about here, you know, that this is me.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm rocking this. You know, that's
Exactly. Yeah. We get the big head.
Jenna shouldn't do that.
She just walked through here. So here are some practical suggestions to help develop a lifestyle of prayer. Pray when we wake up in the morning. We can be thankful for the night's rest, but also ask for His protection during the day. Prayer helps us to start the day off right. We had a prayer request about that, or Thanksgiving prayer about that this morning. Pray before our meals. Offer thanksgiving for the bounties of life we enjoy. Number three, we may want to have other set times for prayer as well. Daniel has set times that he felt the need for in his life. We can pray at any time, at any place. Things often come up that will cause us to want to go to God in prayer and petition for ourselves or for others. Prayers need not be long. Make them straight and to the point. Number five, it is good to pray with one's family. Children need to see and hear their fathers and mothers, and I want to also add grandfathers and grandmothers. Pray for them and for others. They need to see that their parents feel their dependence upon God as they feel their dependence upon their parents. Number six, we should pray not only when we feel a need, but also when we are happy and contented. We've talked about that just a minute ago. When we feel discouraged or face some special problem, should not be the only time we pray. It is easy to pray when we have a need, but do not forget to pray when things are going well. Number seven, we should pray simply and naturally. Prayer should be simple, sincere, and heartfelt. They are not for show to men or to God. God is not impressed with our eloquence or much speaking. Number eight, we should pray fervently. We need to feel deeply about the things we talk to God about and show that concern by doing what we can in addition to our petitions to the Father. Pray until prayer becomes a desirable habit. It becomes a lifestyle. It must not be a mere habit, but something we do on a regular basis, just like we do eating and sleeping. And finally, spend time in prayer each day, even if it's only for 10 minutes. Any comments or questions? That is roughly this class in 10 points. If we just took 10 bullet points about what we've been talking about in the last 11, 12 weeks, that pretty well covers it. Possibly one of the greatest reasons and blessings of continual prayer is that it helps to maintain our relationship with God. The Apostle John encourages the Christian to walk in the light as God is in the light and confess our sins. That's in 1 John 1, 7 through 10. So what is so important about how we walk with God and what we talk to God about? In both instances, it clearly states that if we do these two things, we can be assured of our relationship with God. It is not too hard for the humble, sincere Christian to realize that continual prayer is needed. Jesus makes it possible for our prayers to go up before the Father because of His intercession for us. No man can do what Jesus can do when we access His help in prayer. But what if you're too busy to pray? Prioritize and make time for it. Christ, our example in all things, had a vital prayer life. He would often spend entire nights in prayer. If Christ needed to pray, how much more do you and I need to pray? Instead of being busy, which is burdened under Satan's yoke, take time to push. Pray until something happens. Is that what y'all's thing?
We had a campaign about it, you know, going out. That was the, I guess you could say, the motto behind the campaign.
Okay. Any comments or whatever? Leroy?
My husband's in class today. She usually in
there. Yes, he is. Way to go. Good to see you.
But when you said that everything's summed up in those bullet points, she said, I haven't missed you.
Well, maybe a little bit, Patrice.
Right. Lee and I have not heard about the busy part.
Hadn't heard the busy?
No.
Do you think it fits?
Yeah. Yes.
And that usually when we stop praying is when we're, quote, busy, because we're too busy. So to wrap this up, we should want to avoid those things that would hinder our prayer from going up before the throne of God. Prayer is a spiritual blessing of the Christian, and that it should be a major part of the life of a Christian. As Billy Graham said, to get a nation on its feet, we must first get down on our knees. Any final comments or questions? Statements, Wayne?
One of the toughest things about prayer sometimes is how we, when we get a little bit impatient or whatever, that
waiting on an answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to take it in our own hands. And for instance, God, you know, Jesus prayed for to be delivered from the cross.
Right.
You know, and maybe he felt like that since he prayed that prayer, he should have tried to escape being arrested, because that might be how God answers that prayer.
Yeah.
Is for him to get escape from that. Or maybe he would take it in his own hands to make something happen that he's not seeing happen.
Well, we sing the song, you know, that he could have called 10,000 angels to come, you know, take him off the cross. But we know that didn't happen. But we do sing the song about it. So
that same what he's talking. Jesus, his in attitude was, not my will but yours.
Right.
So he wasn't looking to take it into his own hands.
No.
Rather fulfill the will of his father. What that was before he left and came here.
Physically, he did not want to have to go through it.
Exactly.
But spiritually, he knew he had to go through it.
I was going to say on the push thing, there would be a persistent like that. Even though sometimes we don't see the answer right away, isn't a reason to give up.
Right.
I think it's the whole point of that push till something happens. You know, I got things I pray for constantly that aren't happening. But I don't think that means that I should just give up on it.
Right.
And just who knows what could happen.
And we talked about in the earlier class that there are four ways God can answer us. He can answer yes or no. He can answer yes, not now, or he can answer yes, but I'm going to improve what you're asking because you really don't know what you're asking. So there's four ways he can answer it. Teresa.
I think sometimes he's waiting on that surrender.
Yeah. When we finally say, I give up. Yeah.
Well, for you, but what, like say, I'm praying for someone else.
Right.
I got members of my family that I would like to come back to Christ.
Right.
Well, I can't make him do that, and I know it. God doesn't make you do it either.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop praying for that to happen until I kick the bucket.
Yeah.
You know, but something could happen. It would, you know, in their lives, it could bring it back.
And sometimes,
but if I say, well, you know, I've asked.
Yeah.
You handle it.
Yeah.
That's not the right attitude either. That's you know, because I love them. And I want to see him come back.
Yeah.
So I'm not ever going to stop praying for that.
And they may not come back until after you're dead.
Yeah. I mean, you never know.
You never know. Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Also, what we're going through, or maybe God's answer, should bring glory to God and not to a person.
Not to us. Right. Right.
So I think a lot of times we'll pray for something that we have to think about. Is this going to glorify God?
Exactly.
If it's answered,
right.
Or does it glorify man?
Right. Is it selfish? Yes. Or the selfish test. So. Anybody else?
Hey, I was just going to thank you for pulling us together each week.
We're not through yet.
I know. you do such a fantastic job on this stuff, and I really look forward to it. And I just appreciate you doing it.
Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. Tiffany? I didn't do it. God gave me the information. I just kind of put it together. Tiffany?
Kind of going back to what Connie had said earlier about knowing kind of when to give up.
Right.
Not give up, but in the sense when to give to God. And I mean, Matthew, do not worry about tomorrow.
Right.
Here. I feel like a lot of times I do go to prayer when I have great anxiety, but if I pray consistently over and over, it becomes my stabilization.
That anxiety goes down, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So, and it just stables me so much more, so I look at it totally differently in terms of what that great anxiety was before, and I feel like I lean on him more so.
Right.
With the continued prayer.
Right. Good point. Thank you. Anybody else? We have next week, Ben. As I announced several weeks ago, I've kind of asked for your questions and feedback on items or situations or whatever that we have not covered. I have not got any, so I've got my own questions and some answers. If you come up with something, though, we have not talked about, email me this week. Don't hit me up next Sunday morning as I walk in the door, because I'll just tell you, uh-uh. But I do have some questions and some to present to you to follow up on some things that we haven't really talked about, but we sort of hinted at some of them, and I won't go into details because that'll kind of blow it. And then next week we'll talk about the following quarter, because next Sunday is the last Sunday for this quarter. September 1, Labor Day Sunday, begins a new quarter, and we're trying to put some stuff together for that, but we'll talk about that next week if we get it ready. Otherwise, we'll just have to wing it. So, and David's already pushing his class, so I don't have to say much about it, but he is really fired up about this class. It's going to be a great class, because he is really fired up about it and doing a lot of homework already. So every time I'm around him, he gives me a tidbit about something he's read or whatever. How's he doing at home, Jennifer?
Oh, he's in the zone.
So anyway.
There's no TV in our house anymore. We watch lectures about churches.
There you go. Jim? His is going to be on Wednesday night. Yeah, on Wednesday night. And here, stay tuned next week. Pray over it, yeah. Far as I know, yes. We haven't discussed that, but I would think if we follow through what we're talking about, they will be combined. Is that safe to say, Dub? Okay.
Is David's class going to be taped?
I don't know. That's up to him. Taped.
We'll get back with you.
Pray on that.
Have you thought of that?
Actually, I have thought of that.
All right, the bell's going to ring in just a minute. As some of you know, some of you don't know, I've spent like the last 20 years of my life working a help desk and computer support for both an insurance company and a state university. The insurance company wasn't too bad, but when I started to work for the state university, I had to deal with PhDs. And this is an example of the type of stuff that I had to deal with, me and my cohort. A new employee calls the help desk to complain that there's something wrong with her password. The problem is that whenever I type the password, it just shows stars. Those asterisks are to protect you, the help desk technician explains. So if someone were standing behind you, they wouldn't be able to read your password. Yeah, she says, but they show up even when there's no one standing behind me.
Are these true?
I have actually had something similar to that happen.
It's in writing, it's true.
Yeah, it was on the. Hey, Dub, it was on the internet, so it was true. Yeah.
Usually, we can think it up. It's happened.
Yeah, really. Let's close in a word of God, a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us today, because you promised that when two or more come together in your name, you are with us. As we leave this place, inspire us to love and serve you always. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.